The New Testament gives us doctrine to believe in. It's the nuts and bolts of Christianity. The New Testament speaks of the gospel of Christ, but it also teaches us Christians the didactic. Just the basic doctrine, the building blocks, if you would. Paul would even say Christ has to be the foundation, and he calls the church a living stone. We're being built up together, and there's these doctrines within the New Testament that teach us word by word, verse by verse. The Old Testament gives us pictures, and we can see different things. And so as Ephesians 5 talks about marriage, about how the husband and the wife submit one to another, it's never the husband domineering the wife. It's not the wife as the doormat, nor is it the wife with the pants on. It's they minister and serve one another with two different roles completely. It would be like asking an army personnel to work in, who's trained in military battle, to go in and do brain surgery. It's a different thing. And so men do one thing and women do the other. And we see that in the Old Testament picture of Ruth and Boaz. And as we go through the book of Ruth, you see how one serves the other. One doesn't dominate the other. But there's definitely two different roles. Today, we're going to look at complaining. I didn't go there. It wasn't like I want to go, you guys need to hear this. But the thing is we do, don't we? And so the picture we're going to see is Numbers chapter 11, Numbers chapter 12 of complaining and the results, how God views that and then the remedy that God gives. Don't you like the antidote? Don't you remember the old movies where, you know, the criminal had put in the poison in the whatever and they take it and quick, where's the antidote? And the hero in the white cowboy hat shows up with just the right antidote and everything's saved. Well, Christ always has the remedy himself. But sometimes we can't see the forest through the trees. And so I want to just take a look at this passage here. And let's look at, actually, before I start, let me back up just a second. Complaining is verbalizing what I call stinking thinking. Do you know what stinking thinking is? It's that Eeyore mentality. You know, that's why Philippians 4 says, whatever is true and noble and pure, think on those things. But how many times has your spouse done something and you're just not going to let it go? And or that boss who let you go and you just dwell on that. Or that whomever that doesn't appreciate what you've done for them all their life. And that's stinking thinking. Complaining is verbalizing it. But what did Jesus say? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know them and I know them. People who are prone to be pessimistic. It's a heart issue. God in the Old Testament magnifies a situation and then personalizes it. We're going to see the children of Israel complain to Moses. We're going to see Moses complain to God. And then God to show him in chapter 12 what complaining looks like. It's a great study. And we're going to just really glean a lot. Complaining deals with the heart. All complaints we're going to learn are complaints against God. Any complaint that you have is against the Lord. Either not trusting his provision or you're not satisfied with his decision. I want to say that again. All complaints are against the Lord. At my office, I've got a little notepad that says complaint form. And I went and got one of those little post-its, you know, write legibly. But all complaints are really a complaint about the Lord. Not trusting his provision. Not satisfied with his decision. Take note that no one is qualified. You look at that guy and, I could do his job better than he could. Well, you probably could. No one's qualified. Interesting enough, it's God who calls a man or a woman into ministry or leadership. And God allows these situations to come up, to heat up, that he would train them. Thus, it's the Lord who qualifies. It's the trials, really, that qualify us. It's the trials that come up and we see who we really are on the inside. Oh, it's all, we can be really good on the outside and say all the right words, but you spend a couple nights over in a pole barn at ATF for a couple nights and you start to see the real person. Fangs pop out. Huh. Where's the coffee? Huh. My back is killing me. I got it. I did, didn't I? Wrong topic. Wrong topic. These situations bring out the true us. But I want to tell you there's a difference between being qualified and being called. Can somebody be qualified for a job? There are certain people who are qualified better than me. But there's a difference between qualified and being called. God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. You might stand there going, I can't do that, as Moses did. Lord, I can't do this. And God says, I know you can't, but I can. God qualifies the called. Recognize what God's called you to. That is the first remedy of complaining. Maybe you're doing the wrong job. Maybe you're looking at the wrong person. God does not call the qualified. It's the foolish things he uses, remember? The base things of the earth, that he would get the glory. Yet, through all that we're going to read today, through all this, God provides a silver lining of grace. Chapter 11. Verses 1 through 3 read, Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused, so the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Teberah, because of the fire of the Lord had burned among them. God hears our complaints. So many times we mutter under our breath, these people just... God hears them, and can I say something? Ultimately, those who complain get burned. Have you ever heard the phrase, if you play with fire, you've heard it. Yeah. Don't complain. God heard the complaint. Be careful what we say. God's judgment will get you. But we saw that his judgment, his wrath was quenched, extinguished. We have a little extinguisher in our car just in case, you know. We hope we don't have to use it. But that word quenched means to put out, to subdue. And the anger of God was subdued by what? Intercession. God taught Moses how to intercede for people. Later we see Moses teach Aaron, quick, stand between the Lord and the people and intercede for them before the plague of the Lord kills them all. And Aaron got out there and he started praying for the people. Interceding is different than just praying. Interceding is saying, let it hit me. Let me take the bullet. And God says, I like that. I like that when a man or a woman can say, I'll take it. We see that in Christ now, don't we? I'll take it. Found guilty, oh yeah, but I'll take it. I'll pay it. Paid in full. It is finished. Verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish, which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. You'd think they were Italian. But now our whole being is dried up here, and there's nothing at all except for this manna before our eyes. Now, the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bedlam. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna fell on it. The first thing I want us to know, you can underline it if you brought your own Bible. That word mixed. It was a mixed multitude. The mixed multitude started complaining. Exodus 12 tells us that a mixed multitude left Egypt. It wasn't just Israelites. They brought some of the Egyptians with them. Do you remember Abraham when there was a famine in the land and they went down to Egypt? And Abram looked at his babe and said, "Hey, tell them that you're my sister. That way, you know, if they want to take you, they'll ask me and they'll give me gifts versus taking you and killing me." What a macho guy, huh? I think it was at that point where Dolly Parton wrote that song, "Stand By Your Man." Maybe it's supposed to be "Stand By Your Woman." I don't know. But at that point, they went into Egypt. Pharaoh saw her and said, "Hey," and brought her into his harem. And the Lord said, "Hey, she's another man's wife. Bless him, spare them, and send them out." And so he gave them, it says, oxen and sheep, male and female servants, and they left. One of those female servants, guess what her name was? Anyone? Hagar. No, wasn't Hagar the horrible? It was Hagar, the maidservant. And it was Hagar that bore who? Ishmael. You see, when we go down into Egypt, when we have that mixed multitude, there's always a cost. There's always a pit in the middle of that cherry. Be careful. Be careful. Mixed multitude. Paul says, don't be unequally yoked. Young men, young women, don't be unequally yoked. Don't marry an unbeliever because their values are different. "Oh, I'm going to change him. Oh, she'll see the light." Be careful. Be careful. It was written once that people may be drawn to the power of God without ever repenting to the holiness of God. The unbeliever will clamor for things pleasing the flesh in the works of the church, sumptuous and ornate buildings, nice and easy doctrines. You take a light out at night, and what goes to it? Bugs. Some people are drawn to the Lord, have no intentions of ever turning. And they work their way in to the fellowship, and it just starts to weaken. And so this mixed multitude starts saying, "Hey, I'm tired of manna cotti and manana bread. I want some fish. We ate it freely in the leeks and the garlic." They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Nothing came freely. They had neither free fish, free cucumbers, free leeks, free onions, free garlic. Because they found fault with God's provision, their vision was distorted. And they became to desire the delights of Egypt that comes at the cost of slavery. Well, what are you telling me, Pastor Dave? Complaining will enslave you. It can be a habit. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a form of identity. Right now, you can think quickly of three people who always complain. And you quickly say, "Lord, please don't let me do that." Complaining will enslave you because it's complaining against the Lord. Jesus said, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. May what comes out of my mouth be words of peace and edifying. May the words that come, didn't David say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord. Verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? Did that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me. Here and now, if I had favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Oh, Moses. You see, the Lord magnifies a situation, brings out tribulation that the heart would be revealed. It's an 11-day journey from Egypt to the promised land, but it took 40 years. It would take 11 days to get Israel out of Egypt, but it takes 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. And now Moses sees he still has a piece of flesh he needs to get rid of. As he complains about their complaining, he goes, oh, did I just say that out loud? The humblest guy on the face of the earth complaining to the King of Kings. Have you ever found yourself on your knees and then by the time you were done, you were arguing with God? Dangerous place to be. Very dangerous. Just like Adam. Adam asked, God asked Adam, did you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? What did Adam say? The woman that you gave me gave it to me and I ate. The ultimate blame shifter blames the woman that the king gave him. And that's what Moses says. They're not even my children, and you're asking me to lead them, carry them around in my bosom, my abs. What's up with that? Complain. I think sometimes the cares of the world cause a part of us to go, ugh. And I think we need to recognize a couple of things. God puts on our heart burdens. God puts on our heart, God puts on our heart groanings too deep for words. I think the word says that the Spirit groans too deep for words, and things bug us. And instead of groaning it to the Lord and just letting it be unverbalized, if you would, Lord, this just upsets me, we start to take notice of those others who upset me. And we start to nitpick, henpeck, pick and pick. We can't do that. Moses wasn't satisfied with God's decision to make him the leader, nor did he trust God's provision. Where am I going to get all of this meat for everybody, he says. Verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10, nor 20, but for a month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people who I am are 600,000 men on foot, yet you have said, I will give them meat to eat, that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon these 70 elders. And it happened, when the spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad. The name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses, saying, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to camp, both he and the elders of Israel. A couple things that we see here is that God says, call to me 70 men. You're right. You need some help. So he brings 70 men and he allows the spirit that he put on Moses. He says, I'm going to make these guys elders. 1 Timothy 3 talks about the life of an elder, and he allows a spirit to rest on these elders, that Moses wouldn't bear everything on his own. And the spirit of the Lord went and fell on them, and they began to prophesy. Now, many of us go prophesy, where they just started telling the future. Well, prophecy is twofold. Prophecy comes from God to man, and it's either forth-telling God's word or foretelling God's word. Prophecy is merely speaking God's truth. What I am doing right now, I am prophesying to God's word. I'm also teaching you God's word. I'm forth-telling. There's been a few occasions where the Lord has given me insight, and it would be foretelling. But that hasn't happened for a while. That's God's timing. And these men started to prophesy, and two guys, for whatever it was, they decided to stay in camp. Maybe they had work to do. Maybe they just ate and they were tired. You ever had a big meal and you're just too tired to do something? Maybe that was them. Can't do it right now, Lord. And boy, it ticked off Joshua, didn't it? Don't let them do that. They're not even worthy. They stayed at home to work and they're taking a siesta. And Moses says, I wish that all God's people prophesied. Man, are you kidding me? God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. Maybe that's you. Maybe you go, gosh, I stay at home sometimes and work on Sunday. Well, maybe we got to work on that. But God still calls you. Maybe you're the one who sits on the fence a little bit more than you ought to. Well, we can work on that, but God still calls you and he will qualify you. I think it's the enemy who brings shame on us at times. Sinner. Lazy sinner. Putting your work above the Lord. Sleeping instead of crying. plain instead of praying. And the enemy allows us to feel like that. But Moses goes, oh, I wish everybody could prophesy. Let them prophesy. Paul said the same thing. I love this in Corinthians. Listen to this. In Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. Then all the way down in verses 18, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with the understanding that I may teach. He's talking about prophesying. When they began to speak in tongues on Pentecost, everyone's going, oh, those guys are drunk. And Peter goes, no, this is the Spirit of the Lord fell on us. We're in the last days. And some are speaking in tongues and some will prophesy. Gang, guess what? You're in the last days. Just as Moses said, oh, I wish all of God's people would prophesy. Paul says, I wish all my people would prophesy. Pastor Dave says, oh, I wish my people would prophesy. Now, how many of you, school starts, go out for that sport that you like, the first game were you a superstar? No, it took what? Practice. Practice. Well, how do you practice prophesying? Go into your prayer closet and start talking with the Lord. Start practicing. Practicing doesn't make perfect. Practicing makes better. Practicing makes better. Start reading God's word, and then before you know it, you'll be talking to someone. All of a sudden, I was just reading about something. This fits that. Oh my goodness. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God. And then the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Prophesy in the word of God. Danya did that earlier. She says, man, I feel a spirit of anxiety. As I see the world in chaos, as I hear the prayers of the saints, man, may the Lord's peace guard you. That's how you do it. But get in here. Practice. 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 I want to, verse 31 of Numbers chapter 11. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp. About a day's journey on the side, about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. A cubic is about 18 inches, so about 3 feet. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day and gathered the quail. And it's been said that they hit them with baseball bats. You know how I know that? Because it says right here, the next verse, it says, and they gathered, he who gathered, gathered 10 homers. And so they're just hitting homers all day. And they spread them out. But it says, while the meat was still in their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a great plague. And you're like, what? God gives them meat, and then he goes, ah, you're eating. Kills them. Makes you want to question the next time someone asks you over for dinner. Come on over for dinner. And you're going to eat it too. Verse 34. So he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving. This 34, if you have a Bible, draw a line from 34 to 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. These people were just, they wanted. And when they got it, they took it. And they ate it up. Nor giving thanks. They just, oh. Listen to what James says about that. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So here's this mixed multitude. They're getting complaining. They're causing the children of Israel to complain. Now we're all in a big complaining party. Let's all complain together. We're mumbling. We want meat. Give us meat to eat. We want meat. Give us meat to eat. And God's going, are you serious? Are you serious? And so he gives them meat. And then finally the meat comes. And those who complained said, huh, you want to get something around here? You got to do it yourself. A little pride, a little, huh. And God says, tread lightly. You see, the word says that the hand of the Lord both heals and wounds. The Lord, he gives because he's gracious. You've heard the phrase, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't complain against the Lord. Complaining is you are not satisfied with his decision or you do not trust his provision. Guys, don't complain. I want to wrap things up here. I'm going to read verse chapter 12. It's only 16 verses. But it gives the big picture of how God looks at sin and how God deals with it. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he'd married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Apparently, Moses' first wife had passed away or something, we don't know, and he marries an Ethiopian. And his sister and his brother complain about it. So they said, has the Lord indeed only spoken through Moses that he... has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Have you ever been at work and you look at your supervisor and you go, can't we do the same job? I could do it better. And every complaint is against the Lord. The Lord is authority. And when we complain about someone in authority, the Lord's really displeased. He does not like people complaining about authority because it's all complaints are against who? The Lord. So he hears it. And then, of course, Moses' hand really lightly, it's in the margin. Now, the man of Moses was humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So they came out. Kids, have you ever been in your bedroom arguing with your sibling, and all of a sudden you hear dad go, hey! Boy, that's going to be loud on the tape. Hey, get out here. You know you're in trouble. And so both Miriam and Sadie does this. When she does something wrong, they say, Sadie, get over here. She just kind of walks with weird hobble. And I can just see Miriam and Aaron going, come on, Moses, you too. Walking out to the tabernacle. And it says in verse 5, then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. He called for three, but he said, you two, come here. Then he said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, for he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Did you hear that? Why aren't you afraid to speak to the person I put in charge? I don't know about you guys. There's been times when I'll talk to my kids because I'll be in the other room and I'll hear my children speak negatively to my wife. It really gets me angry. And I'll say, did you just disrespect my wife? Set aside that she's your mother. She's my wife. The teeth come out. The claws come out. Pain. And the Lord says, why were you not afraid to speak to my servant Moses like that? We have a saying at youth group. It's, what's the matter with you? You can almost, what's the matter? And I don't think he was trying to shame them. He was just severely angry. Wrong. Foul. So what happens? Verse 9. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Look back at verse 1 quickly. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. There's something in different type of writings. You see it in Greek, and you also see it in Hebrew. The subject is put first. She was the antagonizer. She's the one who started it. Miriam. Okay, little brother. You're not the only one here with skills. Martha. Lord, don't you care I've been working here? I name that specifically because, ladies, there are times that you're more spiritual than the guys. You're more sensitive at times. But sometimes you're prone to get a little emotional and you let your emotions step forward. Just know that and be careful. Guys, you and I are prone to get angry. We deal with our emotions with the first one that comes first. Our default emotion isn't fear, it's anger. If I get afraid of something, something scares me, I get mad and I defend. Something surprises me, what? And I get angry. It's going to be loud on the tape. It's just that way. Guys know that. Watch your temper, guys. Ladies, watch your emotions. Keep them in check. The Lord caused leprosy to fall on Miriam. Leprosy is that picture of sin that starts on the inside. See, leprosy, like sin, it starts from within. You don't even see it. The bacteria comes in and it starts to kill your senses. Things don't blow your mind anymore. I mean, you can turn on the TV and watch someone get shot and you go, oh man, that's terrible. Are you kidding me? That's outrageous. But our senses are dulled. And leprosy is the same way. You don't feel the pain. You don't feel when you're wounded. And then it comes out and it surfaces and it's contagious. That's why the Lord is so harsh with his complaining, because it's contagious. Another thing that's contagious is fear. Fear is contagious. Complaining is contagious. But can I tell you another thing more important that's contagious? You ready? Eyes right here. Praise. The moment you start to praise, heaven is drawn. Kingdom power is evoked. Satan flees. Flesh is crippled. Praise. When you feel angered and you want to complain, let praise come out of your mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you in your sight, my Lord. The Lord hears it. Oh, what I would rather hear the Lord hear me utter praise than to utter complaint. Guys, we can choose to look for sympathy, or we can praise as a symphony. And I want to encourage you guys, choose the high road. Choose the high road. Choose life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you look at me as unqualified yet called. And you qualify me during the trials. You refine me. You see all of us the way we are. And yet you chose us still. Lord, may we be those who don't put our nose down or up against those who hurt us or we want to complain about. May we recognize that they're just like us, unqualified. And yet they're the servant of the Lord, not our servants. Lord, may we be those who sing praises, lifting our hearts with our hands. praise you, Jesus. We thank you. And all God's people said, amen.